Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be together. Let me invite you to turn to your neighbors, and let them know it is good to share this morning together with you. It is good to share this morning together with each and every one of you. Today we are going to lean into Psalm 90. If you're grabbing one of those Bibles near you, page 424, the words will be on the screen beside me. And we're going to lean into Psalm 90, and with that, Cliff will read for us again today. And then we'll pray and get to it.
Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands.
Thank you, Cliff. Let's pray. God, as we now gather around these ancient words that we have just heard, we ask that you would quiet in us what needs to be quieted and open within us what needs to be opened. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts ready to receive, and with that, the grace to be present with you here and now and with one another. This we pray in the light and life of Jesus. Amen. We say it when reconnecting with a good friend. We say it when another birthday comes and goes. We say it when looking at an old photograph. We say it when watching the kids or grandkids grow up. Where did the time go? When summer turns to fall, when one year flows into the next, and maybe especially as we get older, I think maybe we say it a little more often, where did the time go? And perhaps, at least in part, that is what Psalm 90, this ancient prayer, is inviting us to notice. Not simply that time passes, but with that, how we live the time we have. begins here, the psalmist begins, opening line, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Which hopefully sounds a little bit familiar if you were here last week. Psalm 84 begins, how lovely is your dwelling. Here today we read, you have been our dwelling place. That comes from the Hebrew ma'on. It speaks of a dwelling, habitation. It speaks of refuge. It carries that idea of what we think of as home. And notice, not you have given us a dwelling place. He doesn't say, I've shown you where to find a refuge. He says, you have been our ma'on. Right? Because again, last week, home is not a place we find waiting for us at the end of the road. Home is the presence of God with us all along the way. And not only for us here and now, he says, throughout all generations. In fact, he goes on, before the mountains were born, before you brought forth the whole world, God, you are, right, and have always been our home, he says, from everlasting to everlasting. And then against that backdrop, the psalmist now picks up verse 3, you turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals, which is quite the contrast to everlasting. It is also a picture of how fragile our lives are. An image that actually reaches back to the very beginning, Genesis 3 and 19, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Which is not exactly the stuff of pep talks or motivational speeches. These are not the kind of top 10 words that you would share with a friend who is in need of encouragement. At the same time, the psalmist is not trying to depress us. He is naming what we already know. Where did the time go? Because it is no secret our lives are limited. Right? Each one of us, we have a beginning and we have an ending. And in between, there is only so much time, which is why he goes on, verse 4, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. And again, we ask, where did the time go? And then the picture changes, but the message really stays the same. You sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. It is morning and it is evening. We are here, we are gone, and we wonder, where did the time go? Now again, not really the kind of stuff that feels very inspirational. It's not even, I don't think it really even sounds all that supportive, at least at first blush. But again, I don't think the psalmist is trying to create fear in us or share that somehow life is hopeless. Rather, he's inviting us to see our lives as they are. Because there is something about remembering our days are limited that has a way of reminding us to pay attention to the days we have. Are you with me? It's an idea the psalmist, I think, makes explicit in verse 12. But before he gets there, a bit of another reality. Verse 7, we are consumed, terrified, he says. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days, be they 70 or 80 years, they are but trouble and sorrow. He says, for they quickly pass away and we fly away. If only, he writes, if only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. What is to say, these limited days are not free from, or not apart from, God. They are not free of consequence. Filled with joy, yes, and filled with sorrow. Filled with goodness and beauty, and filled with failure and regret. Right, these days where we get it right, and these days where we don't. If only we knew, he says. Because again, this is not simply a prayer about the passing of time. It is a prayer about what it means to live within that time, to be human in that time. Fallible, limited, imperfect. And perhaps that's what makes the prayer from verse 12 so exceptional. Teach us, he says, to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And I want to hang out here for just a moment, because to number our days does not mean to start counting. Right? This is not a mathematical equation or assignment. Limnot yamenu is the Hebrew. And it means to account for or to reckon. Contextually here, it carries this sense of recognizing the value of the time we have. To number our days is to recognize the value of the time we have right here and right now. What is to say, the prayer is not give us more days, but rather teach us how to live the days we have. Because the danger is not simply that life is short. The danger is we live as though it isn't. In effect, assuming there will be another, right? Another day, another conversation, another opportunity. And that always leads then to someday. Someday I will be more present. Someday I will offer forgiveness. Someday I will make that phone call. Someday I will spend more time with those I love. Someday. Right? And all the while, the psalmist is reminding us, morning becomes evening, summer becomes fall, 1 year becomes the next year, and once again we wonder, where did time go? And so we pray, teach us. Right? Because apparently, knowing that life is short, and knowing how best to live a short life are not the same thing. Which is why perhaps he continues then, relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. What it is to say, the brevity of life does not mean that our days are meaningless, but is to say that our days are all the more precious. Noting again, the psalmist here, he does not say, make my life longer. In essence, he says, fill up this life I have. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. In other words, the answer to the brevity of the day is not to hurry through it, trying to get as much done as we can, to get everything done that we can, but to receive each day, recognizing the gift that it is. To recognize this day as the gift that it is. This morning, this gathering, this conversation, this person. And then we come to one final turn, verse 15. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And I think this is fascinating. Because after everything, after the dust and the grass, after the morning and the evening, after the 70 or 80 years, he says, yes, life is brief, and what you do matters. The people we love, the conversations we have, the forgiveness we offer, the kindness we share, all the ways that we show up for one another. And perhaps that is why this psalm ends not with make our days last forever, but establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And so with that, I want to invite us to, again, sit in the stillness, to reflect, not looking for the right answer, but to lean in and to pay attention to what these words might be stirring within you. And so what is right now in my life that I do not want to miss? What is in my life right now that I do not want to miss? That I do not want to get days down the road and wonder, where did the time go? To what or whom is God inviting me to pay more attention? And then with that, to consider, what have I been putting off that should no longer wait for someday? Maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe it's a conversation with someone you love. Maybe it's something you know that matters, but somehow keeps getting pushed off. And then with that, and we'll sit in silence for a little bit, and Roger, when you're ready, since what we do with our days matters, what might I want to do with the day I have today? Teach us, Lord, to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom.